Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
You know, Mace, it's all happening.
All happening.
Lots
right
going
now.
On.
Yeah.
Did you see Woj's last tweet?
I did. It's good news.
Happening. It's all happening.
Today was the Board of Governors call for the NBA, and multiple stories coming out of there. Apparently, the general consensus is that this is Kevin O'Connor. If the NBA resumes play with a 22-game regular 22 season
team,
format.
Not game, team.
Team, regular season format. Teams will likely play 8 games each. Then a play-in tournament would take place for the 8th seed in both conferences. Plans aren't finalized yet, but as of now, it appears conferences would stay in place. Meanwhile, Shams Charania from Yahoo says that the Board of Governors have set a July 31st target date for the return of the season.
July
31st.
Yeah, so that's a little bit later than what was being reported. See, I never know who to trust on these dates, because earlier in the week, the dates, what was it, July 25th?
And now July 25th, July, yeah.
I don't think we're going to know anything until Thursday. I don't think
we're
going to know any official dates until Thursday.
I agree.
But
and by the way, even Shams' tweet, Board of Governors, that July 31st is a target date for return. He's not saying
Ramona,
a guaranteed date.
Ramona tweeted a couple hours ago that there were actually 4 different plans discussed, that the one
yes.
you described was just one of 4 plans that are a possibility. So I think it would be anybody who says they know what's going to happen is lying, because
yes.
they haven't even voted on it yet.
Right, right. We know that
but
the
it
general
looks good. It looks
we know
good.
That the general managers voted in their call yesterday, and they, according to a straw poll, overwhelmingly wanted the season to just start with the playoffs, but it doesn't appear that that's going to happen.
No, I know the players, I've read a couple of reports that the players didn't love that idea, that they felt they needed to ramp up
right.
with some games before the playoffs started. I think we may try and track Ramona down here in a couple of minutes and,
yeah.
and we can get more stuff.
So today is not just any day. It is Open Phones International. Now, we have got listeners around the world. I'll get tweets from Japan or from New Zealand or from Stuttgart or somewhere.
You've never gotten a message from Stuttgart.
I got a tweet from Stuttgart not long ago. And so we've opened the phones today. 877-710-ESPN. The rule is ask anything, say anything. So you can ask anything you want of either one of us or both of us. You can say anything you want, whatever you want. And it's 877-710-ESPN. And among the people who will be asking anything, saying anything, include Andrew Brandt, Kevin Arnovitz, Momo, who's coming up in just a minute here, and Alex Caruso.
The Great Caruso is
the
on
Great
today.
Caruso, yeah. So 877-710-ESPN. We will work in your phone calls throughout the day. The further away you are, the better. Like if we do get that guy from Stuttgart, it would
there
prove
is
me
no
right.
Guy from Stuttgart.
Stuttgart,
if you
and by the way,
a tweet from Stuttgart. I challenge you to retweet it right now.
Well, I can't go back and
exactly,
find that.
You're
you know
it
how
up.
Many. You know
making
how many tweets
it up.
I've.
Why.
Yeah, from the state of Baden-Württemberg in Germany, Stuttgart,
yeah. mm-hmm.
a great town.
Yeah.
It's my
I kind
of town.
I don't doubt it's a great town. I don't doubt that it's your kind of town.
That's my
You're
kind of town.
You're completely making it up that someone's listening to the show in Stuttgart.
Okay, we got a line open for Stuttgart right now, 877-710-ESPN.
It's like the ladies' line? It's the Stuttgart line?
It's the Stuttgart line, yes, yes. Who knew Stuttgart would get a shout-out on the show today? By the way, I've got ESPN on the background,
mm-hmm.
and I know that the Lance Armstrong thing has been a little bit of a dud, at least so far. Fewer than a million viewers on Sunday. Part 2 is going to be now. I cannot wait for next week, the Bruce Lee one. I think the Bruce Lee one is going to be a really big hit. He is a legendary figure, legendary thinker, legendary philosopher, legendary martial arts star. I mean, just a legendary filmmaker. Made most of his films, like Enter the Dragon. I can't wait for them. That one's called Be Water, and it's on a week from Sunday.
Yeah, I don't know if you're right about the ratings thing. You know, Bruce Lee died a long time ago. Bruce Lee died when he was 32. Didn't he die in the 1980s?
Yeah, but Bruce Lee died in 1973, 1970s,
yeah. So I wonder if, like, Michael Jordan is a legendary
figure. Oh, I don't think it's going to do I don't think it's going to do Michael Jordan.
I think it's going to do I think there's a chance it does Lance Armstrong numbers. But
I think it'll be better than Lance Armstrong. Better than Lance Armstrong. I can't wait for the Bruce Lee.
I'm with you. I think Bruce Lee is fascinating. You know who's really good, who was really good friends with him before he died, was Kareem.
Yeah, Kareem.
Was in Game of Death with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is still a very entertaining movie.
Matter of fact, Lindsay, the week that Be Water runs, we should get Kareem on the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
When is it running, you said? Two weeks?
It's running a week from Sunday.
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
I will work on that.
And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, we present to you... You know, Ramona, Momo's here. Ramona, there was a clip that you retweeted where you basically bowled over your own teammate in the college softball World Series.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it was you and Jessica Mendoza, two people who have gone on to great notoriety in life. You clearly had a beat on the ball.
Yeah.
And Mendoza just took it from you. Like, like you weren't even there.
I think we were both calling it too. I think we both said I got it.
That was my question. Did either one of you call it?
Yeah. So we both called it. But the thing was, I watched it back like many times after they replayed that because I've always wanted to see replays of it. Like,
have you seen this play, Mason?
No, I've not seen this play.
Right, go to Ramona's Twitter account and watch Jessica Mendoza and Ramona just completely ignore each other as they're going for this fly ball in the outfield. It's remarkable that they didn't kill each other.
I mean, well, it's funny, too, because, like, basically, I'm in right field. She's in center field. There's a high fly ball to right center field, right? I think I probably am more in center field than she's in right field, right?
Correct.
Like, I think I went further to go get the ball.
I thought it was your ball.
I thought it was my ball.
But isn't it, wait, Momo, isn't
it an
unwritten? Yeah, but, and also, isn't it an unwritten rule that normally the better player is in center, and so if the center fielder can get it,
the
corner outfielder is supposed to acquiesce?
So, why is that not true? It's true that the center fielder is supposed, the center fielder has first dibs because we're supposed to try to, like, if it's like we're going for it and we're going to collide, the right fielder gives way. But generally, it's harder when you're talking about both going back on a ball. Usually, it's like you're both coming in on a ball that's in the gap, right? Mm-hmm. So we're both going back on a ball literally at the wall. So, like, I was actually pretty impressed with how much ground I covered. I was like, whoa, I really did go from right field. I was, like, really far over into center. So in a way, it's kind of her ball because she's more in center field than I'm in right field, right? But I think I said I got it. And like right as I'm jumping, and I was to the wall before she was. Like the thing is, she's like 5'9" and I'm 5'2", so she just got it. She just like out jumped. I mean, I jumped too. What's amazing is that we didn't kill each other.
Yeah.
Right. So like afterwards, the best part of the whole play is that we're both so stunned that the other person was even there. Like we kind of like for like there's a half second where we're like, I got it. Oh, you got it? Oh, I didn't even know you were... And, like, the girl tags up from second and scores all the way from second.
I know. Yeah, you
got So is this, like, a Flashback Friday situation that you found this video and put it up?
No. What happened was the NCAA softball feed is rebroadcasting, like, College World Series games from the past. So all of a sudden, like, yesterday around 5 o'clock, like, all my old teammates start texting each other, hey... You guys, they're showing our World Series game against LSU on the NCAA Facebook live feed. I'm like, who was watching that to like know that this was happening right now? But then so slowly but surely, like all of us started to log in and like rewatch it. And then there was the girls from LSU who were on the team and they started rewatching it. So it was kind of fun. Like we were all commenting on it because it was, right, I mean, literally 19 years ago.
Yeah. Oof. And this is the last time we'll talk about this and we'll get to the NBA stuff. But what I was most impressed
Yeah.
Major league eye black going for you, Ramon.
Oh, yeah.
Major league eye black. That was
impressive. Couldn't see anything. The sun was in my eyes so badly that game. Like, if you want, they actually have, like, later in the game, they had, like, a close-up of me, and they were like, that sun is really bad in Ramona's eyes. I'm like, I know, I cannot see anything. Like, I was, like, holding my glove up the whole game because I couldn't see.
All right, so what happened on the Board of Governors call today in the NBA?
It was a really good call from what I heard. I think everybody's just getting comfortable with the idea because you get to the end and it's like, okay, this is really what we're doing. But, you know, there was four plans presented. Okay, you could probably – we've all talked about versions of them.
Yep.
The first one was the straight 16 playoff teams, go into the bubble, go, you know, have some training camp, and then we go into the playoffs. That's the least amount of people. That's probably the one that's, you know, the safest in terms of, like, number of exposures. But – The next one was the World Cup style thing. You know, there's actually a few teams that like that. Like, I think I don't think that's going to pass. I think there's just, you know, a few teams that think that might be fun.
I like the World Cup.
I know you do. I know.
I think it'd be fun.
All you soccer people like it.
That's not soccer. It's Olympic people.
Olympic, yeah. Okay.
I view it as like Olympic basketball.
Yeah, okay. So there's some people who like that. I would say it's like, you know, less than I can count on one hand. Okay. But, you know, it's an intriguing idea. There's people who like the idea of experimenting, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think we're getting pretty close to a consensus here, which is that it's going to be somewhere between 20 and 22 teams go into the bubble. We have about, you know, 5 to 8 regular season games. I'm actually hearing it might be more like 8 regular season games at this point, where players can just get their groove back, right? Like, literally nobody wants to come back after 3.5 months off and start playing playoff games that count. Like, that's, you know, everybody wants to avoid that. Like, you need to get back into some kind of rhythm before you start playing. And so you could just have those 16 playoff teams, like, play some regular season games, I guess. That gets kind of boring, and it also gets into this idea of you want to make those games mean something. People don't just want to have exhibition games, right? So then how many teams do you invite? And the way that it was framed to me was initially there was talk of just inviting the 4 Western Conference teams that are close to the 8 seed, right? So that would be Sacramento, San Antonio, Memphis is in the 8 seed, New Orleans and Portland, right? Because they're all within 5.5 games of the 8 seed. But there's this sense also now that 20 is too short, so maybe they have 22 teams. If I was guessing, I think we're going to end up on 22, which means that the teams that are within 6 of the playoffs, that also includes Washington in the East and Phoenix in the West,
okay,
would go into the bubble. And then we have like 8 regular season games-ish, 8-ish, right? Maybe 7, maybe 6, maybe 9, I don't know. But something in that range. And then we have a play-in for the final spots. And I think it'll probably just be for the 8 seeds. And then we have a playoff.
So in other words, teams like Portland, teams like Sacramento, in those 8 games, they've got to get within striking distance to be able to play for the 8 spot.
So, yeah, this is what I'm not totally clear about yet. Okay, so I like to be able to tell you what I know and what I don't know. I'm not sure exactly if they're going to weight it. You know, like if they have a play in, if it's going to be like all 6 of those teams in the West will play in, or maybe 2 will get eliminated and they'll just have a 4-team play in. I think that's still kind of being discussed, right? Like, that's not sure where that's going to land. But the things that I think are really probable, I think we're going to have some regular season games. Players have made that really clear that it's important. And the owners seem to understand that and they get it. And there's also revenue that they make up and they help out with the TV contracts, right? We've been talking about that. And I think it's going to be more than 16. I would be, unless things turn around, right? Unless something changes and things turn around, right. I think we're going to have somewhere between 20 and 22. It's either going to be just the 4 West, or it's going to be 5 West and 1 East. And
Ramona, and you may not have an answer for this, but more likely that they respect traditional conferences and go 1 through 8 East, 1 through 8 West, or 1 through 16 without regard to conference?
I believe that they are going to respect the conferences. I think it's going to be Eastern Conference and Western Conference. That's another thing that's still being talked about because it kind of like doesn't, the math isn't perfect, right? Like, why should there be a playoff for the eighth seed East?
In the West, yeah. Not the East, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
and
I guess
Ramona, this
be.
Is something that's still being kicked around. Ira Winderman, yeah. Who is the who's like the, yep. The writer that covers the Heat, he thinks exactly the opposite. He just tweeted, based on the number of teams, NBA seemingly plans for resumption, it appears more and more likely the playoffs will be seeded without regard to conference.
Oh, yeah, so that is such a win for the Lakers if they do that.
But remember, Masters, so if they
totally
play eight
sure.
games.
Oh, you're right. Those 8 games will count.
Could,
yeah.
If they play 8 games, the seeds could change.
Right.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I keep asking that question to people. And I texted somebody just as we were on the air. I was like, are we talking? We're still talking about Eastern Conference, Western Conference. And like, even the replies are kind of like, nobody's sure yet. Like, that's sort of being discussed. So I don't know where we're going to end up on it. I think, you know, we're going to have a 16 team playoff. Is it going to be East and West? I'm not sure who those 16 are going to be, but I think what everybody's expecting, and this is, I don't know if you saw this because Woj and I were, that's what I was on the phone before I called you. We were composing our lead, right? The Board of Governors call, the next one is going to be Thursday. So we have between now and Thursday to kind of sort through all of these types of issues. But, you know, I think we're going to end up with some framework of, you know, 20 to 22 teams, maybe 7 or 8 regular season games, then some sort of a play-in, then the playoffs. That's
and
what
you
I think it's going to look like.
You think we're looking at end of July, July 31st as a potential target date?
Yeah, that's the target date. Although, I mean, everyone keeps stressing to me that it's just a soft target. You know, it's like right now you've got to put something down, like just so people can prepare and so they can get their minds around things. But, you know, I think we have to assume there's going to be some kind of delays here or there.
Okay.
Hey, have players traveled back into market yet? Like, are all the Lakers back in the market?
I'm not sure about the Lakers specifically, but I know that a lot of people have.
Well, Mace, remember we have Caruso coming on today.
Oh, yeah. We'll find out from Caruso. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds to me that a lot of players are going back. Like, I know Chris Paul just went back to Oklahoma City. I know there's you know, guys that have been out of market that have said, okay, it's time to go back and be right on my team. So this is another thing I think you should watch for in the next little bit. Okay. They're going to have to go from what they're doing right now, which is just basically like, you know, you show up, you change your shoes, somebody hands you a ball that's your ball. Nobody else can touch it. You shoot with a player, you know, a development coach who's got a mask and gloves on. They're going to get back to real basketball pretty soon. So we're going to have the health and safety protocols put into place and like how we're going to manage, you know, everybody coming into contact with each other and how are you going to test everybody and how often and like all that's going to have to be set up. And if you notice a couple of, I don't know, maybe a week, 10 days ago, in some of the memos that get leaked and floated around, there's been, you know, the instruction has been to teams that they need to start setting up their relationships with labs and testing companies so that they can be testing their players at, you know, at the whatever regular interval is going to be the protocol. So that's going to have to start ramping up in the next little bit. The rough outline of dates that I've heard, guys, is it's just sort of, this is very rough still, okay? But something like get your players back into camp by June 15th, right? And then training camps start like June 20th, June 21st, something like that. So everybody's got 2 or 3 weeks now to get to wherever you need to get to, right? So if you're overseas, you got to fly home, then you got to quarantine, or you got to get tested. You have 2 or 3 weeks to kind of make your arrangements. And like the idea is like training camps would start around the 20th, 21st, and then you'd have, I've heard the players union has pushed for at least a 4-week training camp, maybe even 5. So do the math from there, then you travel.
Okay, two questions regarding stuff you just said. Number yep. one, I'm assuming the training camp would include no preseason games. The 8 regular season games are in essence the preseason games, right? They're
think
not
they
going to play games, right? They're going to count, but I'm saying there won't be any games played that won't count. Correct?
Right. Yeah, I think that's
okay.
Right. Now,
that's number one.
I don't know. Maybe they'll scrimmage against each other when
right.
they're in Orlando. Like,
right, but not like
really
what we're used to traditionally in the
right.
beginning of October.
Yeah, I think training camps are going to be at home sites.
All right, yep. Which leads me to my second question. Have you heard of any scenario by which next season would start on time, like middle of October. Next season is definitely being pushed, in your opinion?
I think that's the most likely thing, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's been voted on yet. I don't think it has, but I know that a lot of owners, like, I talk to a handful of owners pretty regularly. I think
Mark Cuban was on the Jump today, and he was arguing for a Christmas Day start for next year.
Yeah, and here, that's twofold. One, you know, if this season doesn't end until September or October or something, depending on how long the playoffs
go. You can't stay on your normal calendar.
Yeah, no. And there's also this thing that is the longer you push next year, the better chance you have of having a vaccine by next year at some point, better treatment, and probably most importantly, fans, because that really nobody wants to do a bubble for 7 months. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, baseball's not trying that. Like, it's you can't really do a whole season in a bubble. Like, I guess you could, but it would be really hard. You really do lose a lot of money on the gate revenues. Like, you know, the Warriors, for example, they make like $400 million of their fan revenue. I mean, that's a lot of money to just, it's not just TV money that you'd be losing. You'd be losing a lot of ticket sales and revenue and sponsorships, and all that stuff goes away. And so teams, if you start in October, that's 2 months that we probably don't have a vaccine or treatment. You start in December, you know, what if we have a vaccine by January, February? And now we're talking about just a couple of months without fans.
Right. All right. Well, good information, Momo. We appreciate everything else good in the world.
Yeah, things are good. I've been having a couple of good days in here. I was, you know, that watching that game yesterday, John, it was really good. It was like made me super nostalgic.
I just felt tweeted like that. Out that play, and you guys are both incredibly guilty of paying zero attention to the other one. You just
running. We're so locked in. We're so amped. Like you know, I normally talk
play.
Pretty
Go
fast.
Go to Twitter at LA Ireland. I just tweeted it out.
Watch the one I tweeted it yesterday where I scored. Like, I guess Mendoza hits me in with the winning run, right, in this game. So I'm on second, and she hits the ball. She hits it, and she takes second on double. So she's so good, man. She just, like, she's always getting the big hit, right? So
Ramon, I was saying with someone, I could make an argument that she's the best college. I mean, I went to UCLA where Lisa Fernandez went, but Jess is in the conversation for best college.
She's in the conversation.
Ever, right?
I still vote for Lisa. Listen, I love Jess. She's my girl. I'll still vote for Lisa because she pitched and she hit. It's literally like she's like Lisa Fernandez is like Shohei Ohtani, but like Shohei, she's like Ohtani if Ohtani won the Cy Young and the MVP every year.
Got it.
Like that's how good Lisa was. Best pitcher, best hitter.
Well, go check Ramon out on my Twitter account, and thanks, Momo.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Okay. So, Mace, every line jammed. We got to take a quick break because we got Andrew Brandt coming up at the bottom of the hour, Lindsay, 3:30. But every line jammed. People want to get in on Open Phones International.
Ask anything, say anything. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. Today is something we're calling Open Phones International. We've got people that listen to the show all over the world. And the phone line's open, 877-710-ESPN. You can ask anything or say anything. It is wide open.
The farther away you call from, the better chance you get in. For example, Nathan calling from the Kamenetsky's hometown of St. Louis, Missouri, on line one. Nathan, you're on ESPN LA 710. How are you?
What's up, Stephen John? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
We are excellent. How did you find us in St. Louis?
Well, you know, back in 2015 when I realized the Rams were moving, and I was already a Lakers fan, so I started listening to your show.
There you go.
We love our Rams here, man. We love our Rams. Sorry we stole them from you.
Yeah, we did steal them, Nathan. What's on your mind, man?
So I know, Steve, you're a big movie watcher, and John, you sort of watch as well, and I'm not at all. And since there's nothing else to do during these times, I want to know what are, like, your top five movies that I should watch to get into, like, movie watching.
Okay, that's a great question. Now, the first thing you have to do, and Mason will agree with me, is you have to watch Godfather 1 and 2. Have you seen either one?
No.
No?
Okay.
No.
I haven't seen
anything.
Okay, all right. So, Nathan, this is good. You're a blank canvas for a guy like Mason. Mace, wouldn't you say that's where you start?
Godfather 1 and 2, absolutely.
Okay. Mace, you know what popped into my head as something he has to see if he only is watching 5?
What?
Would you put Silence of the Lambs in that group?
Oh, that's a really good one. Have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
No.
Oh, man, that is a great movie, dude.
Yeah, that is
I envy you.
That is an excellent movie. Now, Mason's favorite movie is Chinatown, but it's if you're only going to watch one Jack Nicholson movie, Mace, is that the one, or would you put him to Cuckoo's Nest? Would you put him to The Shining?
I'd put him to Chinatown. To me, that is peak Jack Nicholson. Chinatown is, for me, the greatest movie ever made.
All right. So
yeah, I only heard of that from the Sleewell music.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Nathan, the other thing is, I would put, because he's such a great actor, I would put a Denzel movie in there. Funch, if I'm going to give him one Denzel movie and one only, is it
Funch
Training
and I
Day?
Have the same one.
Training Day or Malcolm X?
Malcolm X.
It's Training. What Funch? Training Day or Malcolm X?
Yeah, I say either one of those movies you can't miss.
All right.
Given him okay, except Mace, we've given him four super serious movies.
Okay.
What could we give him to lighten things up? Like really good comedy.
Really,
you know what's kind of a
comedy.
Of a great movie that has some comedic twists in it?
What's
is
that?
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah, I don't know. That's very old schoolish.
All these movies, we haven't given him a movie that's anything less than 20 years old yet. What's the last what's the best movie of the last 20 years?
For me it's The Dark Knight.
Nathan, are you on Facebook?
Yeah.
Watch The Social Network. Have you seen it?
Oh, The Social Network's great.
Yeah, that's a great movie. David Fincher directed it. Aaron Sorkin wrote it. It's about how Facebook was born, about how it started. And it's incredibly well done. So there's five to get you started. Does that
Nathan,
help?
How have you gone through life without seeing any movies at all?
I don't know. I saw Straight Outta Compton because O'Shea was in it, but that's about it, really.
That's a great movie, Straight Outta Compton.
All right.
And I have seen The Sandlot.
The Sandlot, okay.
And now I can proudly say, Nathan, so have I. All right, man, watch those five movies and then get back to us and let us know which one you like the best, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, man,
cool.
Thanks for calling
There's
in.
Nathan from St. Louis. Where's our Stuttgart caller?
There is no Stuttgart caller. Let's go to Tyson in Mission Viejo. He's on line three, Funch. Hey, Tyson, you're on 710 ESPN.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you,
what's,
man?
What's on your mind, Tyson?
Okay, so I moved here 7 years ago, and I've been listening to you guys for probably 2 or 3 hours a week since.
Okay.
And I still can't tell the difference between when Mason's talking or when Ireland's talking.
Oh,
so I need help.
Really?
You know,
how do I
tell you guys apart?
This is an easy one. I'm the one you agree with.
Okay, so here's an easy way to tell us apart, Tyson, if we're being honest. I am older. I'm a couple years older than Mason.
But which one are you?
Mason looks
which
older.
Which one are you? That's Ireland talking.
That's true. Mason looks older than me, but I'm actually older than him. But that really doesn't help you if you're listening.
Yeah.
Lindsay, how would you tell us apart if you're just listening?
I feel like you guys have completely different voices and are very easy to tell apart. So I don't know.
I've heard you guys joke about how you would take one side of an argument, go to commercial break, take
we only did that once. We only
once.
Did that once to see if we could get away with it. And it had people all freaked out.
Oh,
you
it was
get
fantastic.
Away with it with me.
Yeah, so what it was we used to do a thing called Crossfire, which we stole from CNN, where we would each take a different side of the issue, and then we'd have callers vote on which one of us was right. And the first guy who got to 10 would win. So one day we were having an argument, a debate, and we agreed to just switch sides in a commercial break.
Yep.
But not say anything about it. We just said, let's see how many people would notice.
Can and figure out that we actually switched positions.
Yeah, and everybody noticed. It was very fun to do.
Have we helped you at all with your with figuring us out, Tyson?
A little bit, and I will try to pay attention and tell you guys apart. But I love you both. I love the show. I've never really looked at a picture of you guys, so I'm just going off voices here.
Well, right. I'm the one that you generally agree with. I'm the smarter one, and I'm the better looking one. This is Mason.
Well, thank you.
Okay, Tyson, thanks for calling, man.
And John's the one that golfs.
Yeah, a lot. Coming up next, Andrew Brandt, a longtime NFL executive, now an NFL writer, commentator. He'll join us next coming up.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Open phones, International Day, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Ask any, say anything, 877-710-ESPN. Joining us right now is one of the very best NFL writers around, Andrew Brandt. Andrew, thanks for coming on. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Always good to be with you guys.
And we appreciate you coming on, Andrew. And there's so many places we could go with you, so let's start here. We talked a lot last week about the Rooney Rule. And this is something that you had to live with when you were working with the Packers, and you've covered it for ESPN, and I know you're teaching now. Is it possible, Andrew, that this was never really a plan, that they basically leaked this as a trial balloon to encourage debate and discussion? Are we all that stupid? Is that what they did?
I will say this. The NFL, as I saw for so many years, they float trial balloons, and now they have social media to really gauge it. And then if the trial balloon doesn't really gain traction, they kind of pull it back, this kind of euphemism about tabling proposals for future dates. What you're talking about, of course, is the incentivized plan. If you hire someone, a minority head coach or GM, or even lower down, you get an move up in the third round, fourth round, fifth round. It really kind of smelled a little slimy, because you don't want your coach really worrying about, am I hired for the extra draft incentive? Those are the kind of things you think about, like, wow, they're really going there? And, of course, they didn't go there. But let's give credit where credit is due. I always thought the problem with the Rooney Rule was it's just a snapshot. And if you kind of look at, hey, only three head coaches that are minorities, it doesn't really tell you much. You know, what about coordinators? What about quality control? What about scouts? Right. What about executives? What about salary cap people, like I did for the Packers? What about all these kind of people? And you need a more systematic approach, which I think they're doing. So kudos to them on that front.
So let me ask you about, because there were a number of rules changes that were entertained. One was the onside kick rule, which would have allowed teams, instead of onside kicks, have one crack at gaining, I think it was 15 yards. That one felt like a non-starter to me from the jump. The one that I'm surprised they didn't go with was the sky judge. Describe what the sky judge would have done and why the league didn't go for it.
I can't explain the latter. You know, I thought it was a reasonable proposal to have the eye in the sky really decide. Again, an authoritative figure that would be answering the question they spent a year trying to answer with the pass interference review, which is correct egregious mistakes like the Saints-Rams a year and a half ago that caused the Saints, in their opinion, not to go to the Super Bowl. And because of that, we had a rule last year that was a disaster, that coaches weren't calling for reviewing these interference because they knew they wouldn't be overturned, or was it overturned? Who knew? And it was a complete overreaction. It seems to me the easier way to handle the egregious mistakes is the sky judge. So I don't really have an answer as to why that shot down. I just think maybe like the 4th and 15, these owners think, that's too collegey. That's too gimmicky. That's too kind
easy
of...
Easy way to get it right, though.
Our,
it's an easy
you know,
way to get these things
elevated
right.
Elevated regal game.
Yeah.
It's just a thought.
We're talking to Andrew Brandt, and for those of you who don't know, Andrew, as he mentioned, used to work for the Packers. And the Packers did something this year, Andrew, that if we go based on the last 3-4 years, each time a team has taken a quarterback in the first round, the existing longtime quarterback was out before the end of the year. First, it was Joe Flacco with Lamar Jackson. Then it was Eli Manning with Daniel Jones. Now, I'm not so dumb as to suggest that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out right away in Green Bay. But you were there. You know that league and that team well. Is this the beginning of the end for Aaron? Are we naive if we don't at least accept that?
You know, this guy's, it was 15 years ago to the day I was in that room. And we took Aaron Rodgers when we had the most durable quarterback in the history of the sport, in a Hall of Fame level at age 35 in his prime, named Brett Favre. And it was different then because two things happened that night. Number one, no one was taking Aaron Rodgers. Number two, every one of our first-round grades fell off the board quickly except for one. So after a lot of discussion, after letting Aaron sit on the phone for 12 of the 15 minutes with us, we finally took him. And the entire Lambeau Field crowd booed, and Brett's agent called the coach, agent called me, Brett called the coach. No one was happy. But it was a situation where best player available, it's not about the present, it's about the future. And lo and behold, oh my God, it happened again, and the Packers not only took him, but moved up to take him. Mm-hmm. Now, the difference with Brad, he had talked about retirement for years. We hadn't done a contract in 5 years. You know, with Aaron, he's never talked about retirement, and he's playing at the top of the game, and they just did a massive contract. So there's a much different feel to this one. But the point is what you asked. I thought a month ago, I would never say this, or 6 weeks ago, that there's clearly now an expiration date on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. The only question is when. Now, you're suggesting it could be as soon as a year. I don't think so, but
yeah,
it's not going to be Aaron Rodgers sitting 3 years behind Brett Favre. I think the maximum length of apprenticeship now, just it's a different world now, is 2 years. And they move on from Aaron Rodgers, and he's still going to want to play. So he's going to play elsewhere at the end of his career.
That was a fascinating, fascinating move. Hey, listen, we are the home of the Los Angeles Rams. I'm a huge Rams fan, season ticket holder, Rams fans, personal seat license holder, all that stuff. I was surprised that the Rams drafted a running back with their first pick, Cam Akers. But I have to believe they drafted him because they see him as their all-purpose back for the future. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, listen, they, you know, my expertise is the business side and the financial side with players. There's no other way to look at it. The Todd Gurley contract was a failure. And we can talk about injury. We can talk about reasons, excuses. But they are now living proof that the way to go with running back is young. And be hesitant to have a multi-million dollar guarantee into a running back in the second deal. So they now are going to be gun-shy about any running back, I think. It's just the shortest shelf life. It's a tough position. And the Gurley situation is going to be a cautionary tale for a lot of teams. So, yeah, Cam Akers, all their young backs. But we're not going to see them invest heavily in that position again. They've been burned.
Andrew Brandt with us. Andrew, last thing for me, I was thinking about something today because there's a lot of talk in the news about Patrick Mahomes and his contract and that the Chiefs are trying to work it out. So the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year with Mahomes on a rookie contract. When the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, Russell Wilson was on a rookie contract. We just talked a lot about Aaron Rodgers, who makes $35 million a year. You were a salary cap guy in the league for a long time. In your opinion, can you win the Super Bowl with a $30 million quarterback, or is this going to be a trend now where teams go young on a quarterback so they can spend the money somewhere else?
Well, you hit a chord with me, guys. I have a pet peeve about this. I believe that is a cop-out. That is not true. Elite-level quarterbacks paid what they should make. You should not be an excuse for not fielding a top-level team. Sure, you have advantages with Russell Wilson making $600,000 and his peers making $30 million, or Dak Prescott last year making that,
right?
Or Patrick Mahomes making that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can look at playoffs, whether it's Brady or Matt Ryan or Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers, a play away from the Super Bowl, a player away here. I mean, there's no anecdotal evidence that really comes out that you're better off. And the reason I say that is I managed a team with the highest paid quarterback for 10 years. And that is not, that's the work of the salary cap people. Just like coaches have a job to do, scouts have a job to do. Paying a quarterback $30 million does not get you in trouble. What gets you in trouble is bad contracts that leave behind all this extra cap for people who aren't on your team.
Right.
Like the Steelers counting $21 million for Antonio Brown last year. Like the Patriots are going to count $15 million for Tom Brady this year. Those are the things that get you in trouble, not paying what you should pay for the top quarterbacks.
All right, man. Hey, we appreciate
great stuff,
coming on, Andrew.
Andrew. Thank
great
you.
Stuff, as always.
Always enjoy it, guys. Take care.
All right, there's Andrew Brandt.
He's good.
With Sports Illustrated, Business of Sports podcast. Great guy. Really knows his stuff. We got a bunch of stuff coming up for you.
Great Caruso coming up this
hour. Great Caruso is coming up. Alex Caruso, also more of your phone calls. It is Open Phones International. We are taking your calls from anywhere. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. It's Open Phones International today, 877-710 ESPN. Also, Alex Caruso is going to join us in about 7 or 8 minutes, so make
the
sure you're here
Caruso.
For that. The great Caruso. Phones are loaded up. Do we have a call from Stuttgart?
No, not yet, but we do have a call from Mark in Thousand Oaks.
Okay.
Mark, you're on ESPN LA 710. Hi.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. And Mace, I'm sorry I'm not from Germany.
Sooner or later, we're going to get a call from Stuttgart.
I have faith that somebody from the Porsche factory is going to call you.
Excellent. So what's up, man?
I wanted to call and say I have been listening to you guys for no joke 14 years since I was
boy.
An intern. I used to commute 3.5 hours each way to work as an intern in college. And it was the Herd in the morning and you guys in the afternoon were my sanity. So, you know, whether it was what the hell we're going to do about Frank McCourt and Manny Ramirez's contract to winning championships and losing Kobe, you guys have always been there. And your place among your idols in L.A. sports is fully formed and solidified. So I just want to say thank you for all that, especially during all this crazy crap.
Well, Mark, that is very nice of you to call. That's extremely great to hear.
Yeah,
so thank you for doing that and stay safe.
Yeah, thanks,
one
man.
One added layer to that, I just wanted to say again thank you because I've been to movies with Mace, Langer's, played golf with Ben Lyons, and the last 2 years of carefree post-litigation Mace is some of the best radio I've ever heard.
It's excellent. Yeah.
Awesome,
once
man.
He got that monkey off his back, it opened up a whole new world. Thanks
yes, it did.
For that, Mark.
There's a degree of Effort Friday that is just, it can't be contained, and it's the best thing that you guys have ever done.
Cool,
thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, this
very
is
much.
Kind of a default Effort Friday.
Yeah, it is. It is. Well, you know, I don't mind letting the people carry some of the show. You know, it's we haven't taken as many calls as I thought we would during the pandemic. So I thought this is a perfect opportunity to hear from the people.
I think we should do it as long as we are out of the studio. I think we should do it every Friday.
Me too. I'm 100% in favor.
Sold.
100% in favor.
Jacob from Santa Barbara. Let's squeeze him in here. Hey, Jacob, you're on ESPN LA.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Jacob?
So, okay, so I got a plan. Or not a plan, but I think the best way for the NBA to come back would be the World Cup way, although I'd rather have it just the Lakers play the easiest team. I think the World Cup way, it helps with the local TV deals. So Ramona was saying that the first round of the playoffs goes towards the local deals, and so I think if you have the World Cup way, it's 10 games, and it would help to achieve that goal.
Well, actually, Jacob, the fact that Ramona was talking about they're going to play 8 games would take care of those local TV contracts, if that's the way it played
exactly.
out. So I think, you're onto something there. And so,
I love the World Cup thing, but it doesn't sound like anybody else does, Jacob.
Me too. I think Mason and I are probably a little guilty of trying to wish that into reality. But the truth is, it's probably not going to happen. Although we did, Ramona just checked back in with us, and she said Mace, you or I asked her, what's more likely, 1 through 16 or traditional conferences? And she said she's starting to hear, after talking to a few more people, that traditional conferences are the likely way to go. So it should be East against West, unless something weird happens. So
okay, and then another thing, when you guys play sleeve with those little games, I suggest you guys just don't answer and let him go all the way until he goes all the sleeves. talking.
An awesome idea. Right. Awesome idea.
Thanks. Thanks, Jacob. That's great. All right,
thanks,
Mace, without further ado, the great Caruso, Alex Caruso, is online right now. Alex, like the rest of us, has been trying to survive in the pandemic. Alex, how are you, man? How are you holding up?
I'm doing good. I'm pretty sure the great Caruso was a singer, opera singer back in the day. I don't think I can take that.
No. Okay. So here, I don't know if you've ever heard about this. So the year you guys won, what year did you guys win the Summer League title when you were on the Summer League team?
2017, I believe.
Okay. So Michael Thompson was calling those games on, you know, he normally calls the games with me on the radio. He was calling those games on TV on Spectrum with Billy Mack. And he started early in that run calling you the great Caruso, and you got hot and just stayed hot for that whole summer league. And so we've been calling you that, you know, not only that, but we've been dropping that in left. Michael stole that from that opera singer on your behalf 3 years ago.
I'll try and continue the legacy as best I can.
Excellent, excellent. So, Alex, are you back in the training facility? Or are you doing some stuff now?
Yeah, I've been back for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, going a few times a week and just trying to get back in the swing of things.
What's it like when you go in there?
It's honestly, it's pretty simplistic. The way they explained it to us sounded like it was going to be a full medical search before you got in. But they're checking our temperature. They're asking us different questions about how we're feeling, how we've been feeling, anybody we've been around, and then wash your hands, disinfect anything you're bringing in, and then you get in there and work one-on-one in the weight room with a strength coach, and then one-on-one on the court with a coach, and if you need any treatment or anything, one-on-one in the training room. It's been just about all it needs to be at this point, and I'm thankful that we were able to do it.
Alex, are most of your teammates, as far as you can tell, back in California? We had Dwight Howard on a conference call maybe a week and a half ago. I know he was still in Georgia, but are most of the other Lakers back yet, or are guys still filtering in?
Yeah, I think everybody's filtering in. You know, I think there's starting to be some rumbles in the crowd of us being able to restart sometime. So I think everybody's kind of heading back this way, hoping for a return.
You know, one of the things that's been talked about today, that a big board of governors, owners sort of meeting, is that there would be like five or six or seven or eight kind of tune-up games, finish a regular season before you actually get to the playoffs. How do you feel about that? How many games do you think it takes to sort of recapture what you guys had rolling before we went on this this break?
Yeah, you know, I've heard people outside of my team, and then also some of my teammates, saying five is a magic number. You know, I'm not 100% sure. You know, I'm relatively young compared to some of my teammates as far as miles on the knees and on the old ticker. So I'm not sure how long we'll need. I think five is a good start. You know, I think some type of play is needed, just because, I mean, to see where we went from the first couple preseason games, even though they were over in China, to the first stretch of the season was night and day difference. So obviously I think we're going to need a little time to get back into it.
We're talking to Lakers star Alex Caruso. The Lakers have the best record in the Western Conference. And Alex, on the weekend before the pandemic shut everything down, you guys back-to-back beat the Bucks and the Clippers. Do you feel you guys were playing as good as any team? I know you lost to the Nets in what was kind of a trap game on the Tuesday night before the pandemic, but do you feel that you guys were playing your best basketball when they shut it all down?
Yeah, I really do. I think we were starting to turn a corner, and I don't think it was a physical corner. I think it was more of a mental kind of locking in to game plans, understanding what we needed to do to beat the good teams. And like you said, we beat two really good teams that weekend, and I think it was going to be a good step for us to kind of start ramping it up and getting ready for postseason play. Just real unfortunate timing, you know.
While you've been shut down and since before you went back to the training facility, what was your day like? How did you deal with the pandemic?
You mean like the actual, like the first couple of days after they shut everything down?
Exactly. Once they shut stuff down.
Yeah, you know, so everybody kind of went through the process. We thought it was going to be just a week or two, and then a week or two turned into a month, and then we thought it was just going to be a month, and then a month turned into a month and a half and 2 months. So the first couple of days, I watched basketball on TV. You know, I tried to keep up with all the updated information that was coming in based on different health officials and different things from our camp and the Lakers organization, just trying to figure out what was next. You know, and obviously we didn't have the answers, and I still don't think we have all the answers, but I think we're in a better spot now than we were then.
All right, Alex. So somebody sent me a note that one of the reasons we're having you on today is that you're promoting these NBA figurines. People love stuff like this. They're like miniature collectibles. What in their clothes?
They're not miniature. This is the greatest. So NBA. Sorry to cut you off. NBA,
no, go ahead. I was going to ask you how would you explain these things?
NBA Small Stars, right? NBA Edition. They're collectible items. You know, I talked to somebody about it, and I said they're like the bobblehead 2.0, but that would be a disservice to these collectibles because they're probably 3 to 4 times bigger than any bobblehead that anybody's owned in their life.
They're like a foot tall.
They're a foot tall. You know, imagine having a signed basketball. This is about the. It would fit. I don't even think it would fit inside a basketball. It's a really cool thing. You know, just how lifelike they are. I got one sitting next to me that's a figurine of Bron right now, and it's a full 12 inches. It's got a cool little magnetic basketball that he has in his hand to look like he's dribbling. It's a really cool deal.
Now, is there a Caruso version of this?
There might be, you know, there's talk, as much as there's talks about the NBA season returning, there's talks about maybe a Caruso collectible coming out. I'm going to have to keep y'all in the loop.
How can people get them?
NBA, I'm pretty sure it's NBASmallStars.com. Let me double check that website for you, but I'm
pretty
sure.
Yeah, but if we Google NBA Small Stars, it'll come up and we can see what you're talking about.
100%.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
All right. Hey, most of all, Alex, we can't wait to see you guys back on the court. It's starting to look like it's heading that way. I've been saying it all year. I think you guys have as good of a chance. I've been with the Lakers for over 20 years. I think you guys, just your chemistry and the way you're playing, you have as good of a chance to win a title as any team in the last 10 years. So I hope you guys all stay really healthy and that you come back where you left off.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we got a really good chance too. I appreciate that, guys. You know, that's the key, is staying healthy, and hopefully we can get back out there.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, Alex. We appreciate you coming on.
Of course, guys. Always a pleasure, man. Y'all stay safe.
All right, you too.
Mace, Lindsay just sent me a note that if you go on Twitter, @SmallStarsShop, then you can see what these things look like.
And they're actually really cool.
Yeah, the website, and he's right, they're not miniature. They're a foot high. The website is small-stars.com. Small-stars.com.
Cool. All right.
I think we can keep rolling. Funch, do we need to break or can we keep rolling?
No, we can go into 410.
Let's keep rolling. Good.
So if you're joining us late, we decided to do Open Phones International.
Yep.
Mason claims that there's someone listening in Stuttgart. I think
Stuttgart.
He's completely making it up. But Johnny in San Dimas is listening and is on line 6. Johnny, you're on 710 ESPN. How you doing, man?
Oh, Friday. It's a great day. But, hey, I'm Polish like me, so that's close enough to Stuttgart right?
What's your last name?
Jakowski. I would say that, right?
That's right. Mashonsky. Same. Absolutely.
God bless you guys. Hey, I was just wondering, is this LeBron's only chance to get the third championship with three different teams? Because think about it. Next year, when Durant comes back, when the Golden State's rebuilt, when the Clippers are pissed off because they lost... I don't know. Is this the only chance that LeBron has to really get that third one that nobody else has ever done?
No, but Johnny,
I don't think it's the only chance, but I think it's the best chance.
And Johnny, you know, there's another player trying to do the same thing this year, right?
Yeah, Leonard.
Yeah, Kawhi.
Yeah,
I'm sick of cornrows. Anyway, the second thing is that I got two movies from my favorite player, Uncle Drew. get that movie, everybody. Have a good laugh in that. And also, look at Blue Chips. Look at Shaq when he was just so dynamic and beautiful. Blue Chips with Nick Nolte.
Shaq plays a character named Neon Bedeau from the swamps of Louisiana. It's a. By the way, my guy Gary Vitti has a cameo in Blue Chips as the trainer taping the ankles. Mace, also a cameo in Blue Chips. Todd Donahoe, take a hike.
Todd Donahoe!
Remember that, yeah. That was great. Beautiful movie, guys. Have a good weekend.
Yep,
thank you, Johnny.
By the way, Uncle Drew is a really funny movie. Stupid funny.
Yeah, starring Kyrie. So he was talking about how he is Polish like you.
Yes.
I told you before the show off the air that there's a guy for The Athletic that's doing an oral history of the Mighty 690.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
and
that's cool.
We were telling the story. Do you remember the time you and I decided to come up? We had tickets to the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh. We were the Chargers station. And so we came up with a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
And we said, you've got to get these 10 things that are unique to Pittsburgh. And we thought, nobody's getting these 10 things.
No, it was like a six-pack of Iron City beer, a Clark bar.
Oh, right. I mean, we had a where was that? A Permanente Brothers. Bobby Vinton album. You know, Bobby Vinton was known as the Polish Prince. So this promotion, Mason and I thought nobody would get all 10, and if anybody did, we'd give them tickets. It turns out 400 people got all 10. I don't know how they did it, but they all showed up at the station one morning, and the people that ran the station were furious at us because there was no security. We didn't clear it through the promotions
department. It was 100% a tie. In other words, everybody had all the items.
And we had to put them all in a hat and pick it. And Mason and I looked at each other and we said, okay, despite the unexpected success of this promotion, these people are so mad at us that are running the station because they owned our station. They owned 91X. Nobody could get in the building.
Yep.
It was. And then, do you remember the executive who saved us?
Yeah, it was Janet Nauman.
Janet Nauman, who is now Janet Rome, Jim Rome's wife, saved us that day. And ever since, we have been huge fans of the Romes. Jim and Janet, because Jim came on after us, so we like Jim. And then Janet, who at the time was not, I don't even know if her and Jim were dating yet, but Janet saved us. Everybody in that building wanted us out because we screwed up. And Janet goes, you're crazy. They're great guys. Their show's great. You guys are all idiots if you fire them. And Janet saved our jobs.
So
we remember Janet. Thank you.
Here's a little nugget on the Mighty 690. So the original lineup was me in the morning, Chet and
Hartman.
Steve Hartman. In the middays.
Rome Hamilton, was in there somewhere, right?
Lee Hamilton, the afternoon. Rome was 7 to midnight. So when they demoted me from morning drive, they wanted to move me into the midday slot where Chet and Steve were. And I said, screw you, because I was all pissed off that they removed me. So they ended up putting Rome in that midday slot and me 7 to midnight.
I told this story today to the guy who was writing the article. I said, that was the beginning of Mason in Ireland. They were trying to get you to quit.
Yep.
And you and I hit it off. And when they heard that, they came back to you and said, this was the guy we thought we were getting in the morning. We'll give you back the morning and you can work with anyone you want. Who do you want to work with? And you said, well, get that Ireland guy. He was good.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of Mason in Ireland.
Absolutely. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So, humble beginnings. Let's go to Max in Sherman Oaks is on line 5. Hey, Max, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Gentlemen, first of all, how do you let the guy go saying he only had 3 championships? LeBron James already has his 3rd championship. He's going
Very good point. Very good point. Thank you.
Right, look,
thank you for the correction.
Because, of course, I love you guys. I have a word for you. A couple weeks ago, you were trying to figure out, Lindsay Wise, a word you could use on your email to explain the show in one word.
Yeah, word or phrase, right.
Check out the first 3 letters, Mace. Pay attention. Rambunctious. Rambunctious.
Oh, rambunctious. Yeah.
Not bad, Max.
The word.
Not bad at all. Hey, Max.
Rowdy.
Max, what did you think of my limerick yesterday? Yours was very good. I thought yours was excellent. What did you think of mine?
John, your limerick was great. Again, you need to keep that inkwell of limericks running because it will never go dry. I'd say at least once a show you should do it.
By the way, you guys were talking about Denzel Washington. Throw out that movie, The Hurricane.
Hurricane's a fantastic movie.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
He won something for that, Mace.
He lost to Kevin Spacey for American Beauty. He should have won the Oscar for The Hurricane.
Yeah, I think he won a Golden Globe, Max. I think he got a Golden Globe for The Hurricane.
He probably got the Globe.
Hey, Max, thank you. Go ahead.
Lindsay, question for Lindsay. She's a huge Cleveland Indians fan. I'd like to know, she's seen three pennant winners, 95, 97, and 16. What she thinks is the top of those teams that have gone to the World Series in her lifetime? Be interested to know, being a Cleveland girl.
I think it's probably 95 because of the hitting. I mean, it's tough to compete with 2016's pitching, but I think, as everyone would know, I think the lack of hitting is what ended up stifling the Indians and their past couple playoff runs that I don't really want to get into. But I think 95 because Manny Ramirez is the best right-handed hitter of all time, in my opinion. And I mean, they had Jose Mesa, who's like led the league in saves. They had a great pitching staff back then. So David, I think 95 Justice. Was, yeah, David Justice.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the best of them all. Albert Bell.
Hey, Max, thanks for being such a great listener. Appreciate you participating,
man.
Thank you. Which team was Albert Bell on, both the 95 and the 97 team, or just the 95?
I think he was on both. I think he left in 98.
Wasn't Albert Bell a nut job?
I mean, I don't know if you want to call him a nut job.
All right, to let you know how times have changed.
No, he left in 96. Okay. He lives in Arizona now, and he's like a big golfer. And you want to know what's funny? I listened to the ESPN radio affiliate back in Cleveland. It's like where I started as an intern. He calls in like once a week as a caller, as Albert in Scottsdale, and like gives sports takes on Mike Trout and whatever's going on. It's hilarious. He's great.
To let you know how times have changed, if we did this now, we'd be fired and probably shamed out of the business. But we used to send Dave Singer, our old producer, on fool's errands. We'd send him out to do stuff that, you know, just basically to embarrass him because it was funny. So one day the Indians were in town playing the Angels. And we sent him to Albert. We're doing a morning show, and we sent him to Albert Bell's hotel at like 5 a.m.
Oh, man.
Said, go knock on the door and see if he'll come on the show. And Dave did it, found his room.
Oh, my God.
Found it at like 5:40 a.m. He was on a cell phone. Albert was not happy, but it was a good bit.
Did he come on the show?
Sort of. Sort of.
Yeah, we could hear him. I wouldn't say he came onto the show.
Well, the best one of those bits we ever did was one time the Lakers were like a 7 or 8 seed in the playoffs, and Seattle was a 1 or a 2 seed, and George Karl was the coach of Seattle. And for a very brief time in the 90s, for about 18 months, Mason and I owned part of a racehorse.
Yep.
Are you raced all over Southern California?
Raced at Hollywood Park and Santa Anita.
So if you win races, you get these giant horse wreaths that you can, they're made out of flowers that you can put around the horse when he wins a race. Or in our case, we had a filly. So we had the people that do those horse wreaths. And one day we had them do a wreath that said, "Beloved coach, see ya." Because the Lakers were up 3-1, and they were about to upset the Sonics and knock them out. And we had Singer deliver it at like 5:30 a.m. And George Karl thought it was so funny that Singer handed him the phone. And do you remember that, Mace? He stayed on the phone with us for 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And he, I remember when he opened the door, he said, "Who is it?" And Singer said, "I have a gift." And he opened the door, and you heard whoever was with him said, "That's no gift." And he laughed so hard. He thought it was the funniest thing. And we talked to us about the series and about why he thought they didn't match up well. And he just had a great disposition about the whole thing. It was really funny.
Yeah, always liked Carl after that.
I'm sure we could find some good fool's errands that are 2020 appropriate.
Maybe.
We could.
Maybe, but it's you know, now everything
obviously
is,
right now, is a
with
tricky,
the pandemic,
so,
it would make it really hard. Yeah, it would make it really hard.
Yeah, Dave did a lot of stupid stuff. I'm actually going to see Dave tomorrow. We're having a get-together in his driveway.
A socially distanced get-together?
Yeah, socially distanced hangout.
Maybe my favorite thing about the favorite bit we ever did with Dave was when the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue came out one year. Dave, I don't know. I think he had this finally taken care of, Mace. But for years, Dave had, he was one of those guys, everybody knows somebody like this, that had hair all over his upper torso, like all up and down his back. He looked like he had a rug on his back. He finally had, what was the word? He finally had it pelfed or something. He had they took it out and
pelfed?
Is I can't that remember what the word was, but he had, remember, what would you call it when he had all the hair removed from his back?
Like laser hair removal?
Yeah, but there was no such term back then. But anyway, so before that happened, before Dave did that, we made him put on a bikini, a girl's bikini. And the day the swimsuit issue came out, we made him deliver the hand deliver the swimsuit issue to famous people around Los Angeles. Remember, he knocked on the door of the late great Bubba Smith. And Bubba answered the door, and he was laughing so hard he said, "Do you know how this man is dressed?" We had him go to Jeannie Buss's house back when, you know, Jeannie would come on the show a lot.
Yep.
And Jeannie was laughing so hard she couldn't talk.
Yep.
She was like it was, and remember we had him stand on Santa Monica, we were on TV back then, and we had him stand on Santa Monica
and
Boulevard.
Give out copies of it.
Give out copies to drivers driving by if they would honk.
Yep. It was crazy. It was crazy.
Those were the days, Mace.
Those were the days. There was some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I can't compete with that. I can't compete with that.
One year when the Kings were in the playoffs, we made Dave play goalie in Jelly Donut Hockey.
Oh my gosh.
We went down to Randy's Donuts and we bought 2 dozen jelly donuts and we let people come by and take slap shots at them. So when the donut hit the crease, it would splatter all over Dave.
Yeah, Lindsay, this is what made Dave all time the number one producer of the show. It was this stuff, and it's stuff you will never be able to match. That you are number two. No, you're number three behind Dave and Amanda. Amanda's there for obvious reasons. But above Bergman, definitely above
Bergman. And Lindsay, the only way you can pass Dave is to recreate what Dave did at Lenny Dykstra's car wash in the 90s. He went with a cell phone in his hand. He went through Lenny Dykstra's car wash on the outside of a car, and described what it was like to be washed at Lenny Dykstra's car wash.
It's like that movie Dazed and Confused when they took him through the car wash in the truck.
Right. If you're willing to do that, you're in.
All right. More Open Phones International coming up for you. 877-710-ESPN. Kevin Anavitz at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the continued rolling out of NBA's return. Board of Governors call today, what Arnovitz has heard, what style of comeback he would like to see. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.